The first triathlon was held in 1974 in San Diego, California, and the sport has grown steadily since. Triathlon training is highly distance dependent. Sprint, Olympic, half Ironman, and full Ironman each require different time commitments, fitness bases, and lifestyle adjustments. A sprint triathlon consists of a 750-meter swim, a 20-kilometer bike leg, and a 5-kilometer run. It usually takes 1 to 2 hours to complete, and it is the best starting point for beginners. Most athletes can prepare for a sprint with 4 to 6 hours of weekly training. The Olympic distance doubles the swim and run and quadruples the bike, 1.5 kilometers, 40 kilometers, and 10 kilometers. Finish times are typically 2 to 4 hours, and training generally requires 6 to 7.5 hours per week. A half Ironman usually requires 8.5 to 11 hours of training in average weeks, and 11 to 14 hours as race day approaches. A full Ironman is a 3.8 kilometer swim, a 180.2 kilometer bike leg, and a 42.2 kilometer run. It often takes 10 to 17 hours to finish. It demands 10 to 12 hours of weekly training over 6 to 8 months, with peak weeks reaching 14.5 to 18.5 hours. Beginners should start with a sprint if they can swim for about 15 minutes, bike for 30 minutes, and run or walk for 30 minutes. A 12-week structured plan is the minimum recommended baseline. Quality plans include test, build, and recovery phases. Test workouts establish baseline fitness, build phases add race-specific intensity, and taper weeks reduce volume while preserving intensity. Brick workouts, which combine two disciplines back-to-back, are essential for preparing the body for transitions. Open water practice is also important, especially late in training, because pool swimming differs greatly from race conditions. Training should be adapted to real life. If a workout is missed, do not try to make it up. Simply continue the plan from the current day. Schedules should be flexible, but they should follow basic principles. Avoid hard workouts back-to-back, spread similar workout types across the week, include at least one full rest day, and schedule an active recovery week every fourth week. Busy athletes should prioritize quality over quantity, and they may reduce time in their strongest discipline to improve weaknesses. Beginners should progress conservatively, increasing swim and run time by no more than 5 minutes per week and bike time by up to 10 minutes. A balanced Olympic distance week might include a recovery swim, a bike ride with a short brick run, swim and run sessions, a muscular endurance bike workout, a long steady run, an open water swim plus long ride with brick run, and a rest day. Most effective plans include 2 to 3 sessions per discipline each week. Swim training should emphasize technique over distance. Efficient kicking, relaxed knees, hip flexor drive, and proper breathing are more important than simply covering more meters. Because swimming is hard to sustain at race distance, athletes should train over distance. Open water practice should include sighting every 3 strokes and adapting to chop, temperature, and limited visibility. Bike training should focus on power and handling. Riders should develop aerobic, tempo, threshold, VO2max, and anaerobic fitness. A cadence of 90 to 100 RPM is often efficient. Handling skills such as cornering, shifting, one-handed riding, bottle grabs, and straight-line control improve safety and confidence. Running is often the hardest discipline after swimming and cycling. Most training runs should be easy enough to hold a conversation. Improving cadence toward 180 steps per minute, maintaining good posture, and strengthening the core, hips, and glutes help prevent injury and improve efficiency. One weekly high-intensity interval session can help athletes maintain pace when fatigued. Gear does not need to be expensive at first. Essential items include goggles, a swim cap, a wetsuit if needed, a safe bike, a helmet, water bottles, a repair kit, running shoes with elastic laces, a race belt, a towel, and anti-chafe product. The helmet must be fastened before touching the bike and must remain fastened until after racking. Transitions are a fourth discipline. T1, the swim-to-bike transition, requires practice removing the wetsuit, using lubricant, taking off the cap and goggles while running, and putting on the helmet first. T2, the bike-to-run transition, requires safe dismounting, quick racking, and fast shoe changes. Transition areas should be organized in use order, with bike gear in front and run gear behind. Smoothness matters more than speed. Race preparation begins with tapering. In the final 8 to 14 days, reduce overall training volume by 40 to 60%, with smaller cuts to running than to swimming and cycling. Maintain workout frequency and some intensity to preserve fitness. Taper anxiety is normal, but the reduced volume allows repair and energy restoration. Nutrition should be planned in advance. In race week, eat balanced meals, reduce fiber, and increase carbohydrates in the final 4 days. The largest meal should usually be the morning before the race, with a lighter dinner earlier in the day. On race morning, consume 400 to 600 calories of easily digestible carbohydrates about 3 hours before the start, and drink 24 to 30 ounces of sports drink. During the race, aim for 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour and 6 to 12 ounces of fluid per hour. Athletes should only use foods and drinks that have been tested in training. Mental strategy is also critical. Break the race into segments, use mantras, stay present, and visualize key moments. Nerves are normal and can be channeled into focus. The central takeaway is that successful triathlon training is not about training the longest, but training smartest. Choose a realistic distance, follow a structured plan, prioritize technique, practice transitions, taper properly, fuel strategically, and integrate training into daily life without creating excessive stress.